You're listening to DraftKings Network.
You're tuned in to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, guiding your gridiron journey, none other than your host, former NFL lineman, Ross Tucker.
Oh, yeah, it is. But it's not just any Ross Tucker football program. It never is. I bring it for you guys 25 minutes every episode, every show, every day. That is my promise. You guys give me your 25 minutes of listening time or perhaps viewing time, youtube.com/RossTuckerNFL. I'm going to bring the info. I'm going to bring the stories. And I am darn sure going to bring the energy, even when it's late and I'm out here in Los Angeles for the NFL's, now they call it the Broadcasting and Media Workshop. It used to be called the Broadcast Boot Camp. A little bit more on that a little bit later in the show, and might even have more on that tomorrow with Greg Cosell. You can always check us out on social media, and I love those of you that do, at Ross Tucker NFL, whether it's Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. As a reminder, I send you personalized signed autographs. It's me with the envelope. It's me signing the autograph, sending it to you. For those of you that engage in any way on any of the social media platforms or take advantage of any sponsors or just rate and review the show on any of the podcast apps. And I love doing those YouTube shout out videos for those of you that go to youtube.com/RossTuckerNFL and comment on any of those videos. And I also got to be honest with you, I love opinionated analysts like Phil Simms. Very, very excited for today's big show.
The big show.
Absolutely love any chance I get to talk with Phil Simms, obviously Super Bowl champion quarterback for the New York Giants and the co-host of the Simms Complete podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. You're doing that with your son, Matt, right, Phil? Are you loving it?
Yeah, I like it a lot. You know, I always went all these podcasts. I don't know. But now that I've been doing them, I mean, man, it's freedom. It's unbelievable. And, you know, I really like what I love about it. I'm not worried about what I say, you know, and I have to be careful. I don't have 15 seconds to say it in. So it's been fun. And my son, he's great. You know, he's teaches a ton of quarterbacks and all that. So he's really good at this and follows the game. So it's been a lot of fun. And I'm not going to stop. That's for sure. I love it.
And I know you're so passionate about football, which is one reason why I love talking to you. So passionate about the quarterback position. I guess I want to start with that, Phil. I know you've watched most of these draft prospect quarterbacks.
Right.
You know, and I know it's a combination of things, but what are the first couple things you're really looking for when you watch these guys?
Yeah, listen, I'm always the same about this. I said, don't tell me about somebody and go, he just knows how to play or he just has it. I need to see something that I can really count on. What is it? What elite traits do they have to make him a successful quarterback in the NFL? Is it size, mobility? Does he have a really good arm? Is he just a really good passer? There is a difference. There's throwers and passers. You know, either one of those, if you're really good at it, that's what I look for. Then I go into the rest. And I'm, you know, I watch a lot of TV, Ross, and listen to everybody. And, you know, everybody gets into this, well, he didn't have his receiver from last year. And I don't care. That means nothing to me. I don't even know the one-loss records of these quarterbacks. I don't know their stats. I'm just judging them. I'm not judging their team, their head coach, play calling, nothing. I'm judging the quarterback, and that's kind of how I do it because we can have great quarterbacks that play on really bad teams, and we can have an average quarterback that's playing on a great team, whatever. That's kind of how I look at it. I want to see physical traits before I really start jumping into these guys and deciding how much I like them.
So let's talk about this group then. And was there a guy? I mean, we all know who's ranked high and how people feel about these different guys. We get that. Was there a guy that really jumped out to you of the group that you thought was head and shoulders above the rest, or did you think it was pretty close between a couple of guys? What were your initial impressions?
Well, you know, Ross, like I said, I'm nosy. I watch as much as I can of everything. And now all of a sudden, Jaden Daniels is the new big time flavor. I mean, oh, I would take him over Caleb Williams and all that. But to answer your question, when I watched him, just my first reaction as I watched, let's say, two or three games of each guy just to get started, I said, oh, it's Caleb Williams. He's physically, I like everything about him. And when he was protected, he could stand in the pocket, read, find guys, all that, which has kind of been a little bit of a detriment as I listen to other people. And he had some bad games, Notre Dame. But I don't know, was he responsible for not picking up blitzes? They couldn't get open. Notre Dame just overwhelmed them. So I don't look at that game and go, oh, that could be who he is. There's too much of great stuff to know that physically, he's got it all when it comes to being an NFL quarterback.
So I think it's interesting that everybody says that, right? And I'm not like a quarterback guru,
But
but
what
what
do
I
they
think
say?
is interesting, Phil, what's that?
What do they say? What do they say?
No, well, when people say what you said about Caleb Williams, physically,
Oh.
he's got it all. 'Cause I think like I watch him and like Justin Fields is a bigger kid. Justin Fields is faster. Justin Fields probably has a stronger arm. So it's not like
Yeah.
I mean, there's obviously things that Williams does better than Fields, and clearly the Bears feel that way. But I always hear the physical part of Caleb, and I'm like, wait a minute. Fields is bigger, faster, and has a stronger arm.
Yeah. Okay. That's a really good point. I watched a lot of Justin Fields this year because he's a lightning rod. And, oh, they got to build an offense for him. I love that statement too. What the hell does that mean, Ross? We got to build an offense that, well, oh, we got a few zone reads in there. We got some runs. But, to me, quarterbacks that are mobile, they're most dangerous when they're throwing the football because the field spreads. And if nobody's open, the linemen, you know how D linemen are, they don't care about nothing but hitting a quarterback. So the running lanes are big. And then you take advantage of it from there. But to get back to Justin Fields, just was not a good processor. He had some really rough games, and everybody says the offense stinks and this. And I watch the tapes and watch it and go, there's people wide open everywhere. Wide open. First read of the th throw it to him, he's going to get 20, and it didn't happen. Now, I thought he got a little better at the end, but Caleb Williams is clearly a better passer of the football in my eyes than Justin Fields.
So when you
So,
say that, is that the accuracy component, or is it just knowing where to go with the ball sooner, or is it both?
it's both, no doubt about it. But the accuracy, he just has more throws. In other words, he can throw the ball with power, he can throw it with touch, he can do all those things that you want. He's very good on the run, throwing the football. And so, yeah. That to me, that's the big difference. Justin Fields, it's work. Justin is kind of that guy that I don't know what he did as a youth. Was he a great baseball player and all that other things? But he had a powerful arm, and he was a thrower. But I never looked at him and said, wow, he's a passer too. Not once did I do that. But can he fit and have success in the NFL? Yes, big time. And I love the position he's in now down in Pittsburgh.
So it's interesting, Phil, because before the season and for like half the season, it was Caleb Williams, Drake May, Drake May, Caleb Williams. And then the second half of the year, you started hearing more. Well, maybe Jaden Daniels is the third guy, maybe Jaden Daniels. And now there's a bunch of guys. I know you said you watch a lot of TV, but a bunch of guys that I think have a pretty good idea what they're talking about, like Louis Riddick and Greg Cosell and Orlovsky. Boy, they really like Daniels. I mean, they really are talking up Jaden Daniels. What did you see from him, Phil?
Well, listen, I watched him when he was at Arizona State, and he came out as a freshman, starting there for, shoot, I'm trying to think who the offensive
Herm
coordinator.
Edwards, probably.
Well, Herm was the head coach, yeah. So I'm watching him just going, oh my God, this kid's really skinny. And apparently, that was my first thought. But then I watched and I said, wow, he can move around. He throws the ball well. And then just to follow his career, then he goes to LSU. And listen, big time pro offense, very good decision maker, fast as heck, mobile, all that you want. And he's a good passer. Does he have an overpowering arm? No, he does not. But he's a good decision maker. He's accurate. And, he's a passer of the ball. He has touch. And when he needs to, he can turn it on enough to make a power throw. So I liked him a lot right away. And when I watched all the guys real quick, to me, it was clear, to in my opinion, it was Caleb Williams, then Jaden Daniels, those two. So, and I'm not into this, oh, he's too light, he's too skinny. You know, I saw him at when he won the Heisman Trophy, he came into CBS studio, and everybody, oh, they're hitting him and checking him out, touching his arms, and, you know, you need to put on some weight. And I was talking to him, I said, listen, don't listen to all that. Be who you are. You're not meant to be Hercules. Be Jaden Daniels. In other words, he's never going to be Josh Allen looking or anybody like that. And, you know, he weighed 210 pounds or 16, one of the two, I forgot. But that's plenty. And he'll know how to protect himself, so it doesn't bother me.
You know, when I watch him, Phil, and again, no quarterback guru here, but he kind of reminds me of Lamar Jackson a little bit. How would you compare those two guys?
I think coming into the league, it's totally different. Jaden Daniels is a much more polished passer, decision maker, and everything like that. Lamar Jackson, one of the greatest highlight films I ever watched, Adrian Peterson, Barry Sanders, whatever, all these guys, is that when I watched him in college, I went, oh my gosh, he is so dynamic. And then I just, for some reason, nobody gave him any props for his throwing. I mean, he could really throw the ball even in college. I don't know why it became, oh, well, he'd be a quarterback. And so I loved him. But that comparison, you know, I think they're, you know, coming in the league, Lamar was about the running. Jaden Daniels coming in the league, he's going to run, but he's about being a polished decision maker and thrower. That's the big
difference. Let's get to Drake May. I guess, maybe you didn't watch him the year before, Phil. Maybe you did. But it seemed like coming into the year, there was a big debate. Drake May, Caleb Williams, Kate Williams, Drake May. Almost everybody I hear now feels like he dropped off a little bit. What did you see? What are the concerns? I hear people saying he's raw. He played a lot of football, I think, in North Carolina. What's raw about him, or what did you see?
Well, you know, not going to make it long, but yeah, he's big. He moves around well. It's not going to be special in the NFL, his movement. But on, you know, passing downs, if you play a lot of man coverage and all that, he can pull it down and get you a first down. There's a lot I liked about him. I got to admit, Ross, and you brought up a great point. All I heard all season long was Caleb Williams, Drake May, Caleb Williams, Drake May. And I didn't really get to watch on Saturday many of his games because I'm watching Alabama and Ohio State for personal interest. Why I would, you know, stay on those teams, didn't get to watch him. So when I watched his tapes and everything, the first thing I said, wow, I'm actually a little disappointed. And everybody goes, well, why? Well, all I heard was all this great stuff, and it's good, but I never looked at it and went, wow, this is a big time, ready to go starting quarterback in the NFL. So he throws the ball really well on the run. He throws the ball down the field really well. There's some mechanical reasons why it's like that. But in the NFL, quarterbacks got to take all the easy throws and hit them all. Then you got to hit some special ones every game. And I guess the inconsistencies, especially on the shorter passes, was something that really I saw, and it kind of gnawed at me a little bit. And I thought his pro day was good. Maybe corrected some of those things. He looked pretty good. So that's my thoughts about Drake May, if I answered that question.
Yeah, you did. You got to make the layups. That I mean, it is hard to win if you don't make the layups.
Yeah, you know, people think it is. When you're throwing those short passes as a quarterback in the NFL, and I said this about a few of them, they see them, it's a five-yard slot out, and they don't throw it out there. So they rip it in there to get that ball to the guy and go. And I thought that was one of his subpar traits about him as an NFL, potentially an NFL quarterback, which he will be, of course.
Seems like maybe, Phil, there's some debate over whether the next guy or the next two guys, it's, you know, J.J. McCarthy from Michigan or Michael Penix from Washington. Did you have a guy out of those two that you preferred?
Well, we'll say this. When J.J. McCarthy said he was coming out in the draft, Ross, I said, oh, my God, why is he coming out? I said, he's going to be a third or fourth round pick. And, you know, I watched a lot of Michigan football on Saturdays, but I never really studied him or anything like that. And then the process started. I started watching their games, and I went, wow, I just didn't give him credit. He can really throw it. You know, he can let it go. He's another one. Maybe the short passes might be a bigger problem than throwing the ball down the field. He was tremendous throwing the ball down the field. So, and the other thing is his mobility is is going to be a big factor, I think, in the NFL too. He can run. I mean, really run. And his size, to me, it looks plenty big enough. So that doesn't bother me. So I was kind of surprised when I started studying him. I went, wow, I was really wrong. I was watching those playoff games and, you know, I just didn't think he was ready to be a pro. But it's different style, of course, as you know, and I know at Michigan, he handled that well. And he's going to feel like he's free when he comes to the NFL. They're going to throw a lot more than he ever did at Michigan.
So I got to be honest with you, I don't get a chance to watch that much Washington football.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm like you. I'm calling a game every Saturday, right? And I'm calling it Big Ten or SEC or Army or whatever. Right. I didn't watch that many. I just saw the highlights. But watching Penix in a couple of those games, I just couldn't believe. I mean, how every throw, it seemed like it was right where it was supposed to be. I know he's got the injury history. What did you see from Penix's tape, Phil?
Man, it was awesome. It was, I loved all of it. And yeah, he had a tough championship game. You know, Michigan was pretty good on defense. But yeah, I saw him as a freshman at Indiana, and he came in the game. I forgot the quarterback's name that was there, Peyton somebody, and I liked him. And I said, oh my God, they're bringing in Michael Penix. They're going to ruin their quarterback, you know, position here. And then he threw a few passes and he ran. I went, oh, I see why. And, you know, I kind of lost track of him. Then he goes to Washington, but his throwing is unbelievable. One of the best just pure throwers that maybe I've ever seen. I mean, he can just make every throw. Played against Oregon in Washington. It's 30-mile-an-hour winds, and Brock Huard was doing the game, and Brock Huard's going, he was trying to explain, you just don't understand how good this throw was. It's 30-mile-an-hour winds here, and he's throwing it like there's nothing. And he played at Oregon State in a night game, pouring rain, and he is throwing missiles everywhere. And his receivers, because of all the rain, were dropping them. But, you know, so he's about as good a thrower as I've seen come into the NFL draft in a long time.
Wow.
And how about this, Ross? The fact that he ran into four fives on his pro day. And I even said this when I talk about him. His biggest detriment is the fact that he's such a great thrower of the ball. Because why would you want to run when you just go, well, I'll just wait another half a second and just throw a 30-yard missile down the sideline and back shoulder the receiver or something like that. So in the NFL, I even kind of said this. Move around a little more. Don't stand there and wait for somebody to come open because it's a different league, of course, than what you saw in college.
All right, so there's a bunch of other guys. I'll throw the names at you. Bo Nix, Spencer Rattler, Michael Pratt from Tulane, Jordan Travis, Florida State, Devin Leary. Right. There's obviously Sam Hartman and Joe Milton with the bazooka. I know you've watched a lot of these guys, and these are maybe guys that go – day two or day three, Phil? Is there a guy, maybe it's even somebody I didn't name. Is there somebody else, if I gave you the floor to talk about one other guy that you really want to talk about?
Oh, wow, that's tough. I like to talk about all of them. But, you know, if all the ones you said, I've watched them all. Every one you just brought up, I've watched them all. And the one that intrigues me the most of that group, just because I'm looking for a steal, without doubt, is Joe Milton. And it's not even close. Size. Can run, really great arm, of course, but a better quarterback played the position better than I expected when I watched him at Tennessee. And I watched him a lot, and he jumped out. I thought there was no chance about him. And then I started watching their games and said, wow, this is a lot better than I thought, because I didn't get to watch Tennessee games on Saturdays sitting here at home, which is the great thing about my job, Ross. On Saturdays, we're free, so I get to watch a lot of college football. But he jumped out at me, and the other guy that was sneaky to me was Devin Leary of Kentucky. Good career at North Carolina State. Tough. He loved to throw it down the field and make big plays. Very aggressive decision maker and thrower. And he kind of caught my eye, too. Those were the first two. Sam Hartman knows how to play the game. Boy, I say talk about that. But I think the physical capabilities are just not up to being a starting quarterback in the NFL. Spencer Rattler, you know, he's going to be interesting. Where will he go? If I had to guess, I'll say third, fourth round. That would be, you know, because once the quarterback raid goes in the first round, the second round should be quiet because of that. So Spencer Rattler dropped out. Who else would you want to hear about? I watched.
Yeah, no, I think you hit the guys that I wanted to hear about. Maybe just one comment on Bo Nix.
Bo Nix, I don't get it. I never hear his name. I mean, I watch TV every day as I'm sitting on my computer watching whatever. I don't hear anybody talk about him. And Oh, his arm is not special. Man, I don't know. I watched a lot of Oregon football, and I watched him a lot since the season's been over. He made a lot of power throws. He's a good decision maker. You know, he's a leader of men. There's no doubt about that. His father's a great high school coach and gets rid of the football. Good size, and I think he's going to be – I just always got this feeling watching him. Very mature for being a college senior. I know he's been in college quite a long time too, but I liked him a lot. And, you know, you try to fit these quarterbacks into where you think it fits with the coach. And I look at Sean Payton, who loves to put a lot of pressure on his quarterback, calling the right play. We're going to give you two, decide which one's best, all that. Man, I think that fits Bo Nix big time.
Check out the Sims Complete podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. Phil is breaking down all of these quarterbacks with his son, Matt. And obviously, Phil is not afraid to share his opinion. Absolutely love it. Phil, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
All right, Ross. Good talking to you. Really good setup you got there. I feel embarrassed by mine. I'm going to fix mine up one day. Get it looking like yours. That's pretty sharp stuff behind. So,
thanks, man.
All right. Thanks, Ross.
Phil is the man. I was taking so many notes with so many different quotes he had about the different quarterbacks. I love, you know what Phil can do? Phil can fill it up when you're interviewing him about any topic, but especially when you're talking quarterbacks. I can fill it up when I'm drinking Labatt Blue Lights. I may have had a couple of those tonight with friends, living life to the power of we, actually with the players and people working at NFL Network. Always enjoy responsibly. It's delicious beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Ducks takes.
All right, Ross. There are reports out of Dallas that Micah Parsons' act is, quote, wearing thin with Dallas Cowboys.
Saw that. I know the guy, Sean Sheriff from 105.3, the fan in Dallas who made those comments. I'm going to make my retort the Labatt take of the week, presented by Labatt Blue Light, the pristine Canadian Pilsner. Enjoy your beers together so you can live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. First of all, Micah Parsons is going nowhere. He's one of the best players in the NFL. The Cowboys love stars. He's not going anywhere. Do I believe the report that some people don't like Micah? I do. You know why? Because Micah has opinions and he's not afraid to voice them. He's got his own show. He's got an opinion on everything. And by the way, that in and of itself makes people uncomfortable. And then he's even not afraid to voice his opinion on the Cowboys roster, people they could add, positions of need. And you know that there are some front office executives for the Cowboys that don't like that. They don't need the best player on the team talking about where they could add players or where they're not good enough. So, yes, I believe that his act is wearing thin on some of them. Guess what? He's worth it, and they're not doing anything with him. I can almost guarantee that.
Falcons, they signed former Packers quarterback Kevin King, and Dolphins, they signed defensive tackle Tyre Tart.
So Kevin King's been out of the league for a couple years, so that's always notable to me when a guy like that signs with the team and gets back into the league. And Tyre Tart, I was shocked when the Titans cut him last year. He was like a starting nose tackle, and I thought one of the better run-stuffing nose tackles in the league, but I think he was a little too inconsistent on and off the field for the Titans' liking.
Logan Ryan, he retires from the NFL after 11 seasons with two Super Bowls.
And what's funny about that, Jack, he is here at the broadcast boot camp. So I was talking with him about it quite a bit. Really smart guy. And was talking with him about broadcasting and talking with him about retiring. He will do well in his post-football life. What a terrific career. He's had a couple Super Bowls. Really good player for a long time.
The NFL, they approved 5 new helmets that they tested so well that players will not need to wear guardian caps.
I thought that was really interesting. And a lot of these, Jack, are position-specific helmets. These companies are pouring so much money into the research for these helmets. Man, I wish they had done this when I was playing. I mean, it still can't prevent a concussion, but it sure as heck seems like it can help with all the subconcussive hits and everything else. I'm just appreciative of the companies and the scientists that are going into trying to make these as good as possible as they can possibly. Other than that, excited for Greg Cosell tomorrow. Check out Joe Dolan today and the Fantasy Feast. I think we're done here.
Thanks for tuning in to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Make sure to also check out Even Money, Fantasy Feast, and College Draft, all on the DraftKings Network on Samsung TV Plus, YouTube, or subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform.
Shout out myfrontpagestory.com. Do you realize we're 2 days away from being a month away from Mother's Day? That means it's on you to go ahead and sign up for an order for a loved one. I've said this before, I'll say it again. If any of you get a story from myfrontpagestory.com for anybody, I guarantee that I will sign and send you a press pass. Guarantee it. You're not like entering. It's not like you against other people. I guarantee to do it. Myfrontpagestory.com. I also love Pizza Boy Brewing, Sporticulture. How about HumanHeadNYC.com, SteakhouseSports.com, BackOfficeScheduler.com?